بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، تقدست أسماؤه وعلت صفاته وجلت أفعاله عن كل شبيه وند. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، أشهد أنه واحد في إلهيته، واحد في ربوبيته، متفرد بأسمائه وصفاته. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أجمعين. وبعد، أيها الإخوة المسلمون، dear brothers and sisters in Islam, today our subject or the lecture or the talk I should give, it's about what we did for our deen. ماذا قدمنا لدين الله. Before we go in this, before we talking about what we did for our deen, we should, you can close it now until Saturday. Before we start talking about this, I would like to remind myself and you, brothers and sisters, what this deen did for us. What's the meaning of being Muslim? Usually when we're people talking about what's the meaning to being Muslim, they talk about what you should offer. But today, I would like to remind myself and you, all of you, this great ni'mah, blessing from Allah, that He give us the hidayah, that He let us among the mu'mineen. First of all, do you remember, brothers and sisters, that when you are a Muslim, that means Allah loves you? Because Allah, He loves the mu'mineen. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. He loves them. Since you became Muslim, mu'min, that means Allah loves you. Because the kafir, Allah, He didn't like the kuffar. He didn't like them. He disliked them. يَبْغَضُهُمْ. He is anger of them. Do you remember? Since you became Muslim, that means you got a guaranteed promise. A promise. It's a guarantee from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you will never be among the mukhalladeen in the hellfire. Mukhalladeen, the people who will stay in the hellfire forever. You are not among those. Since you are a Muslim, that means you have been promised the Jannah. And I know everyone knows what this Jannah is. Do you know, brothers and sisters, that you are the only people in this land, this time, they know their God? They know Allah? Do you think Christians know who is Allah? Do you think Jewish, they know who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? They know God has son, and Allah has not. He hasn't. They know God get tired and sick, change his mind. He became sorry about what he did. But Allah, in fact, is not like this. Their God, their ilah, their Allah, isn't like a human being. He was sent down to the earth, or part of him was sent down to the earth. He was slapped. He was put in the cross. He was bleeding. He was a baby. He was eating. He was going to the toilet. He's a human being. Not God. It's not our Lord. It's not our Ilah. So you are the only one. Know Him. And this is very special for you as a Muslim, that you know that one of His name is Ar-Rahman or Ar-Rahim or Al-Ghafur, Al-Aziz, Al-Hakim, the one you read in the Quran. No one knows these names except you. No one knows what Allah is like and what He dislikes except you. Because you got this from the Quran, from the Sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Since you became Muslim, or since you are a Muslim, alhamdulillah, that means you know who is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know who is the messenger. You know his sunnah. You are in the same way which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to be. You are following his steps. And this is really very, very special. People, yes. And also you are the only one Muslims, dear brothers and sisters, the only one know who is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, Umar, Uthman, Ali, the righteous people. You contain their seerah. You know about their lives today. You read about them. You feel like you are living with them if you are reading about them. End of the Day of Judgment, you will compare them, inshallah, in the Jannah. Who can have this? You know the kuffar, they're going to compare Abu Jahl, Qarun, Shaytan. But you, your companion in the Jannah, the prophets, the righteous people. You are on the same track, you are the same way, the same road. Do you ever thought about this? That you are in a line, in the head of this line, the prophets, and you are in this line. And there's another line, the guide who guides the other lines in the front, Abu Jahl, Shaytan, the Kuffar, Qarun, Fir'aun, Haman, the people of Lut. You see the difference? Even if you are not that good Muslim, you're still in this line with those people. Do you ever think about this? Do you ever think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for you, He sent the Quran and Sunnah, He sent messengers, He guided those righteous people like Salaf al-Salih, all of that to show you His deen. It's for you as a Muslims. He make all this color to save the deen up to this day, just to take it a pure religion. It's for you, brothers and sisters. It's for us as a Muslim. The deen, the religion give you the freedom. Some people say, oh, I don't know. Is it really the religion give us freedom? Well, we are not free. When one of the Sahaba went to one of the Kuffar's leader, he said, we came to free the people. Free them from what? As Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, هربوا من الرق الذي خلقوا له فبلوا برق النفس والشيطان. The people run away from being a slave of Allah, then they turn to be slave of their own desires, or they slave for the shaitan. It's like this, brothers and sisters. You are slave for Allah or slave for the shaitan. There's no other choice. Because if you are obeying Allah, you are a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you obey your desires, the shaitan's whisper, you are a slave for him. You following him. That's what Allah said in the Quran. أَفَتَتَّخِذُونَهُ وَذُرِّيَّتَهُ أَوْلِيَاءُ. And Allah on the day of judgment, He will tell the kuffar, He will tell the people who was misguided, He will tell them. That Allah, He will tell them. And warn them. أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكُمْ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ الشَّيْطَانِ. Did I tell you, don't worship the shaitan? The mufassirin said, worship shaitan here means obey the shaitan. Because we have something called shirk ta'a. There's a shirk. Commit shirk in ta'a. Obeying other. And shaitan, in the day of judgment, will sit tell them, don't blame me. Don't tell me that I did that or this to you. No. Blame yourself. I just asked you to follow me and you did. I had no rights on you, no power on you. I was only whispering, asking you to follow me. So, the deen came to take you, to free you from of the shaitan, from desires, to make you free. You are only obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One sister once told me, I used to design the fashion. I'm one of the one who make the fashions. Like fashion show for women, dressing. She said, I was very famous. She's a Muslim. She's from Muslim country. She has a PhD in this field. I don't know for what. Maybe she designed some socks. It's a PhD. Anyway, she said, she's so educated. One day, she was reading about hijab. She said, I swear by Allah, I only found freedom in hijab. She said, if the woman go outside almost naked, she said, she's a free, I'm free, you know, free girl, free woman, you know, like, oh, it's free. That's right. She won't be free. Free, it means wear shorts, wear whatever she likes. She said, don't think that's free. No, she has no freedom. You know what? She told me, wallahi, a brother, wallahi, sheikh, we were designing the clothes for a woman in a way the man like it. How the man will like the woman's looks like, we design the clothes for them. Not for her own self. Not for her, how she like it. No. We design to show the parts the men likes more. And cover the parts the men they don't like to see. She was not free. We were not free. We were doing whatever men want. Whatever shaitan wants. We're doing whatever attract people. It wasn't freedom. She said, what? You know what? When I wear hijab, I don't care about other who looks at me. Because whatever, nobody has nothing to do with me. Whatever I like to wear, I will wear it under my hijab. It's for me. It's for my husband. It's for myself. Not for others. And the deen is a freedom. Do you think the people who are running behind the money, they all have freedom? Who has a lot of money, they have freedom? No. The king, do you think they have freedom? No. They have to follow some political ways, etiquettes. They have to follow, they cannot get out of it. So, the deen gives you the freedom. Make you a human being. The deen, the religion, answer for you the most important questions. which is a natural question. Where I came from? What will happen to me in the future? Why Allah has been created? Once I asked one soldier, I met him in one country, from Marines. I told him, what's the benefit from having you in this life? What's the benefit from having you in this life? Why you are alive then? He said, just to enjoy the life. I said, the benefit from creating you. Why? Why Allah create you? Why the God create you? He said, to help the children. I said, you do? He said, no. I said, okay. He creates you only to help the children? He said, really, there's nothing. There's no benefit, real benefit. Just, you do whatever you think is good or right. I said, the God who created this world with the very, in a very, very special way, everything has wisdom. Even in your body, if you look at your body, how he create the eye, the mouth, Just to, as Allah said in the Quran to Kuffar once, what you think your life be looks like if Allah make your face here. Oops, he turn your face on the backside. Just imagine your face, your eyes is in the end of your head. Just imagine how you will walk. Just think about that. How you can walk, how you can eat. I believe in your arm until you reach the mouth. If your eyes there. You see, it's wisdom that he puts his eyes, mouth, nose, earring, face in the front, How to walk. If your knee is like a bowl, you will never be able to go upstairs. Because since you try to move, you will make full circle, you'll be circling. You cannot walk. But he created in a special way, he designed it in a special way. It's full of wisdom. So after all of this wisdom, he just created you for nothing. It makes sense. Any Christian has nothing. He said, to believe in Jesus, so what? As he was coming to fight, and he said, okay, the man you fight, if he now believing in Jesus, and he's a killer, and he passed away, he will go to paradise? I said, yes. And the one who was killed, he will go to the paradise? Yes. It's unjust. It's not just. It doesn't make sense. Just he believed? Just a word believe? And do whatever you want? That doesn't make sense. So he said, I don't know. I think I don't have any benefit from having me in this life. I said, subhanAllah. Now, your shoes, there's a benefit from it? Said, yes, it will save my foot from the heat of the earth, and it saves me safety. And subhanAllah, your shoes has a benefit, and you don't have any benefit from your body. There's nothing to do with this life. Doesn't make sense, ya bro. So, deen give you this answers. Why Allah created us? For to worship Him. Where we will go? There is a day of judgment. If the deen gave you all this and more, do you have ever thought, or do you think, what I did for my religion? The one that this religion gave you all these things, what he did for it? Allah is not waiting us to pay him or to give him something, no. وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُم مِّن خَيْرٍ. Whatever you offer, the good deed, it for yourself. And you will see the reward for it in the Day of Judgment. 7 years. 7 years. The Prophet ﷺ and his companions suffered from the Jew in Medina. 7 years. The Jew try to destroy this a new Muslim's country. The new Muslims towns in Medina. New Muslims government in Medina. They tried everything. They tried to kill him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They tried to start trial fitna between the Muslims. They tried to make deals with the kuffar so they can attack the Muslims. They support the hypocrites. They start everything. 7 years, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, suffering from them. He went outside of Medina toward one of the Jews' city, full of money, full of farms, gold, foods. They went out from Medina. They are poor. They couldn't find enough clothes to cover themselves. Good. They couldn't have food to eat. Thirst. Hungry. They used to eat one date. He suck it and he pass it to the other. And he will do the same. He just will taste the sweet from it. And maybe 3 or 4 eat one date. Very poor, very hungry. There's no food, no drink. No horse, no ride. Walking to this city. And this city was closed on a lot of money, a lot of food, a power. And they are having this feeling their hearts. They've been suffered from the Jew a long time. Until the Prophet ﷺ reached Khaybar with his companions. He surround Khaybar. Then he gave his order to Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. I'm wondering, thinking, expecting, what he will ask him. What he will order the Muslim to do. What you think? It's the time for revenge. It's the time for taking this power from them. Taking the money. Taking the food. Eat. Drink. Have a new clothes. Have a lot of money. A lot of horses. Camels. Cattle. يا علي انفذ على رسلك حتى تنزل بساحتهم ثم ادعهم الى الاسلام واخبرهم بحق الله عليهم واخبرهم بحق الله عليهم فوالله لأن يهدي الله بك رجلا واحدا خير لك من حمر النعم. يا علي, go to them, go with your people, then when you reach there, there is an abbreviation. Start talking. Ask them to enter to Islam. Tell them to become Muslims. Give them da'wah. Tell them what they should do. What they should believe. Tell them that Allah has rights on them. That they should worship them only. They should become Muslim. Ya Ali, remember that if one person accepts Islam, it's better from all of this wealth. When he sent his soldiers, they were not thinking about money. He was thinking, he was not thinking about power. He was not thinking about extending the land. He was not thinking about food or cattle. No. He was thinking about how he guide people to Islam. It's better than any wealth. And he gave example of some kind of cattle, red camels, which is the most expensive kind of camels. And he meant, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the wealth, the money. All of this, with all of these things, they're suffering from the Jew. They are the Jew who killed the prophets, who tried to kill our beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who cheated the Muslims, the one who tried to start fitna in Medina. And with all of this, he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ask them to become Muslims. It's better for us if we have them as a Muslim's brothers. He wasn't looking for revenge. He was not thinking about power or money. He was thinking about da'wah. About what he should, how he should deliver this message to others. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, he was sallallahu alayhi wa sallam going to check the people when they die, when they are dying. If he hears there's somebody dying, he will run to him. Ask him to become Muslims. He's going to die. He's going to pass away in a couple of minutes or hours. What he will get benefit from having him Muslims? He wasn't looking at this as a material thing. He was not looking for this as something he want a huge number of followers or people or money. No, no, no. He went to his uncle while he's dying. He said, my uncle, say la ilaha illallah, so I can ask Allah, make intercession for you. He said, he was going to say la ilaha illallah. You look the bad companion, his companion Abu Jahl, his friend, a bad friend, what he does. He said, oh, that means if you became Muslims, that all of your family, they are kuffar and they're going to go to the hellfire. Your people, they will be going to the hellfire. Do you want that? Do you like to insult your people? You will be happy? He said, no, no, no. I don't want that. He didn't accept Islam and he died as a kafir. Once he heard about a little boy, young man, a Jew, teenager, he is sick and he was going to die, passed away. When he heard that, he ran to his house, as in Sunan Abi Dawood. The Sahaba said, oh Allah, we were running behind him. We reach this Jew boy while he dying. The Prophet tell him, accept Islam. He look at his father with this weak look. He said, my father, he said, obey Muhammad. He always asks people to do good things. Obey him. He said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Then what? Then he passed away. Then he died. The Prophet ﷺ went out and his tear comes out. Crying, saying, Alhamdulillah that Allah saved him from the hellfire. Alhamdulillah that I was able to save him from the hellfire. The thing was, hurts Muhammad ﷺ so much. The thing was, hurts his heart so much. When somebody reject his deen, reject his da'wah, when somebody turn his back to him and he don't want to listen, the thing it will affect him, it will make him sorry. said when he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he couldn't hold somebody tight from throwing himself on the hellfire. This is the thing, it hurts him mostly. One day he was asked sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the hardest day, the worst day you have ever had in your life? Ya Rasulullah, what is the worst, the hardest day you have ever had in your life? Do you think it was the day when he was praying in Mecca alone, where there is no Muslims yet, except a few of Muslims, a weak people, women? Then, while he making sujood, the kuffar Abu Jahl came laughing and he put on his back, he put on the Prophet's back a camel's blood and the skin and the camel's stomach. He threw it above him while he making sujood, laughing and the kuffar making fun of him. And he is lonely, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do you think that was the worst moment? And no one can help him except his little daughter, Fatima, came to take off this things and clean her father's back. Do you think that worst day? Or when he was in Shi'b Abi Amir, in the valley of Abi Amir, where there's no food, when the kuffar put all the Muslims there, there's no food, no drink. They used to eat the tree, they used to eat the bugs, no food, they all must die. It's the worst day when he lost his companion, his best friend. His uncle Hamza was killed in front of him when he watched them dying in Uhud. The people he loved, the people they fought with him. Do you think this was the hardest moment? When he was injured, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was bleeding from his cheek and his teeth was broken, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Uhud. Do you think the worst day in his life was those days? Do you think his worst day was, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when his wife or his son passed away, Ibrahim or Khadija? Ya Rasulullah, what's the worst day? What's the hardest day? No. The answer is no. Not all of this. None of these days. So what's the hardest things? What the things make that day very special? Very hard on him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The answer comes from him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he went to Taif, tried to plant this Islam in the new land. حينما ذهب يستنبت للدعوة أرضا جديدة. He went there asking people to accept the da'wah so he can start from a new land. After, he told there is no chance to start in Mecca. And they answer him by the worst answer. They reject him badly. They stone him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and let the kids running behind him, stoning him, insulting him. And he went outside of Taif, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, sorry, not for what happened for him. No, no. You will see why I'm saying no. He went outside sadly. He left the Ta'if sad and sorry. He found himself, he said, I found myself at Jamrat al-Aqaba al-Kubra عندما شار في مكة. He found himself suddenly walking like this. Suddenly he found himself near Jamrat al-Aqaba al-Kubra, more than 50 kilometers. Walking. He couldn't realize what he was doing. He couldn't remember this distance. Then, as in some narrations, even if it's not that strong narrations, he made a dua for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking his help, seeking his forgiveness. Then Jibreel came, said, Ya Rasulallah, as this is authentic, Ya Rasulallah, qad sami'a Allahu shikayatak. Allah heard what you said, what you asked for. Allah saw what they have done to you. And He sent with me the angel of mountains. Give him order so he will destroy this village in no time. If he was sad, if he was angry, if he was looking for something for himself, the answer it will be yes. Destroyed them. But he was not sad for that. He was not sorry for that. He was not unhappy for that. The thing make him his heart sad, sorry, that they didn't accept the da'wah. That means they will be kuffar. That means they will not be able to survive. So, no. Don't do it. Don't destroy them. Ya Rasulallah, they will not become Muslim. They will still kuffar. Yes. Even though. If they will be kafir, don't destroy them. Why? He said, لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ يُخْرِجُ مِنْ أَصْلَابِهِمْ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make from the next generation some mu'mins. Their sons, their children, they might become Muslims. Even if they didn't convert to Islam, even if they didn't accept Islam now, maybe their sons they will be. He was looking so far. He never gave up, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. La ilaha illallah. What a great heart. What a great prophet we had, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then, look at his life. All of his life, his main concern is how to deliver this deen to others. As Muslims, they're teaching them, or non-Muslims to deliver the da'wah. And we have been ordered clearly in the Quran to copy him, to take him as a role model. And one of the things we should do, that we should consider this da'wah. Think about it. Give it to us, to others. Deliver it. As he used to do, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Last moments in his life, when his body was weak, when his sound was soft, when he lost the power, it's not that strong body anymore. It's not that strong body anymore. It's weak. He's gonna leave this dunya. He's dying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And with this, He was saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah, Allah, as-salata wa ma malakat aymanukum. He reminded the Muslims about salat. Remind Muslims about tawheed. He warning Muslims from shirk, from imitating kuffar, to take care or to be kind to the people under you, like slaves. He remind the Muslims about that. People under you like also wives, your children's. He remind Muslims about these things in his last moment. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And his companion, they were the same. To end this lecture, I'll give you 3 examples. Two of them from the Sahaba, and one is after Sahaba, after that long, long time. Look at Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه. Once he saw a little man. He's a little, his body is little. His foot is small. Very little man. Do you know what he said, رضي الله عنه? He said, hey, brother, I can tell you have a small foot. I'm sure you will get a good chance for them to have a space in Jannah. Since your foot is small, I'm sure Jannah is so wide, so you will get a chance to have them in Jannah. So brother, try to get this space. See, a nice words, a nice way, special in Arabic. يَبْنَ أَخِي إِنِّي لَأَرَى قَدَمَيْكَ صَغِيرَتَيْنِ وَلَنْ تُعْدَمْ لَهُمَا مَكَانًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. It's very easy for a person like you who's little, he can fit in anywhere in the Jannah. So try, just you need a little work more and you will be able to go there. Nice way. They use any kind of a good way to deliver the da'wah. Any chance, he will deliver the message. Umar radiallahu anhu. Bleeding. The blood comes out from his stomach. Umar radiallahu anhu. He's going to leave this dunya. And a young man came, as in Sahih Bukhari. قال له أبشر يا عمر صحبت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ومات وهو عنك راض وصحبت خليفة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأكنت أميرا للمؤمنين حكمت وعدلت واليوم موت شهادة هنيئا لك. He said, you accept Islam, you companion Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Prophet passed away and he loves you, and his Khalifa Abu Bakr al-Siddiq also, and then you became a ruler, you are a just person, you did a very good job. And now you are dying as a shaheed. You are so lucky. And he left. When he left, he saw him. He said, Ruddu alayya al-fata. Call him back. They call him. He said, Yabna akhi. Ya akhi. Or ya bunay. Oh, my son. I have seen your thobe is so long. So long, it should be your thawb, not under your ankle. Put your thawb up, above your ankle, so you will keep your thawb clean and you will please your Lord. إنه أنقى لثوبك وأتقى لربك. والله some Muslims today, if you tell him any kind of anything, sunnah, in his thobe, in his face, in his job, in his scar, he will say, oh, is this the most important thing in this world today to ask me about? Now Muslims in Kosovo, Muslims in Iraq, and you're talking about these issues? Umar is dying. Umar is going to leave this world. And he talk, advise a person about Isbal. See? He never leave any chance. If he see anything, he will give the message. He will deliver the da'wah. To anyone. Their lives and their death is for Allah. As Allah said in the Quran, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. The scholars said, the Mufassirin, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي لِلَّهِ اسْتِحْقَاقًا ومحياي ومماتي لله امتلاكا. Lamb, this letter lamb in Arabic, it has many meanings. It can be istihqaq, which is شيخ ياسر شنو نترجمها استحقاق. Deserving, and it can mean owns. He owns, so he deserves all kind of worship. Salati wa nusuki, my prayer and my nusuk. Nusuk could be nusuk, all kind of worship or the sacrifice. So this two, lamb, it means, for these two things, it means that he deserved the worship. And my life and my death for him, for here, the lamb, it means he owns my life and owns my death. This ayah, it contains two kinds of tawheed, and I believe you had this, or the brother who attended to the class of tawheed, he'd been told that. In this ayah, it show you all kind of tawheed. Tawheed al-rububiyyah, tawheed al-ilahiyyah, and tawheed al-asma'i wa-sifat, la sharika lah. Therefore, Shaykh Muhammad Abdul Wahab, rahimahullah, he started his book with this ayah to show that his book talking about all kind of tawheed. And this the meaning that his life is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His death too for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the way the Sahaba used to be. I don't know if you are... I hear that American is not good in geography or history. Is that right? Huh? You didn't study this much. Yani, it's so good in this field. That's right? That's what I hear. But let me to ask you. They said, in the dark ages there, not us, we have light ages that time, which is Islam, but dark ages in Europe. Okay? It's not dark ages, in fact. That's wrong word. Dark ages for them, when they was confused, a woman is a human being or animal or a part of Satan. Yeah. Yeah, that's they were confused. They don't know what woman is. And a lot of things I don't... Just you can go check Walt Durrant in the history of civilization. قصة الحضارة. He's one of them. Just read about what they used to do in Europe that time. It's very disgusting things, I don't like to say. But this is not the point. After this ages, they call it dark ages, they start discover the new lands. You know this words? New land. They discover a new land. And they call it discover. A new land. For what? For the science, you think? Huh? They discover a new land for science? Okay. Can you put this map, please? This. Put it good. I hope the sister, they will be able to see it. Yeah. It's good now. Okay. This is a class of history. It's not exactly, but I need to put this away a little bit. You see, this is the old world, where there's no new land yet. The Asia, or Asia we call it, Asia I think you call it in English. And this Europe, this Africa. The most powerful country that time was, huh? What's this country? Huh? Spain and the Portugal. Okay. No, don't. So they have a lot of ships, and they're the people who discover the new land. After the Muslims, by the way, the Muslims were here in Jazirat al-Arab. They extend to Asia. They reach here. They reach India. They reach China here. And they take over China. China paid jizya to the Muslims, so it's turned to Muslims. And the Maghul, the Mongolian people, also they accept Islam later, so they reach here, you see? And here, the Siberia, where there's nobody there. Except some kind of people. Here in Africa, the Islam is like this, that's right? In Europe, in Ottomanian's times, they reach here. Where is Italy? They reach here. Rome and Vienna. Here. Nimsa, someone in Nimsa in English. Austria? Austria? They reach here. You see? And from this side, the Muslims reach 35 kilometers from Paris. They reach Lyon. It's around 35-50 kilometers from Paris. You see? And here, it's the only land left in Europe. Then, the Kuffar, the Christians, return back this land. The Muslims here, so close from Morocco to Spain, to come back again. So what they said? They said, we have to destroyed the Muslims here, so they cannot fight us again, cannot come back again. What we should do? We should go circle them. Okay? Go around them, behind them. They send the first ship here. It goes like this. And there is a very famous battle here in Morocco. They lost. Then they return back. Then they sent another trip. They said you have to go a little bit deeper. Go down to Africa. So, they reach here in the middle of the west of Africa. In the Middle West, here. And they found Muslims. And they had very famous another battle there. They lost. Then they sent a famous troop with that guide, his name, Vasco de Gama. I don't know what this is, a Spanish name. Vasco de Gama. I don't know if this is a familiar name with you or not. They said he's the one who discovered a road, we call it in Arabic, Ra's al-Raja al-Salih. I don't know what they call it in English. Cable? Cable of a good hope. You know why they call it that? Because the hope was reaching land, there is no Muslim in it. This is the hope. They go all the way down. He lost control in this area. Because first time they went so far. Then he found himself here in Mozambique, Zanzibar, and Madagascar. Here there's a very Muslim, it's a Muslim country. And he found a man, his name Ahmad ibn Majillan. He's a Muslim. He's very famous in sailor man. He guided them until they reach here, Habasha, the Abyssinia. And it's a Christian land. I don't have time. I do have the letter from the king here. He used to send letters with the king of Spain talking about deal between them, how to take over Africa. Because Muslims, here, there, here. There's no way. No hope. When they reached this, they said, maybe we got now a new hope that we can take over the Muslims. Then he went to India. And he had a very famous battle. I think he was killed there or something. He lost his ships there when he fought the Muslims. Bring the other one. They returned back, they lost. So, they changed the way this time. They said, there's no way to surrender, to take over the Muslims during around Africa. Why we don't go west? So we can come to the Muslims from this area. And they said, Saint Columbus, who discovered America, the new lands. Then they sent other one, Magellan. Magellan. He went this way, all the way down, and he went this way, all the way under the South of America. Then he go from this way, where he came? From here. To try to find a new land to kill the Muslim, to come take over the Muslims. Where he reach? Philippines. Up to this day, his grave is there. This land, they call it Amanullah. It's a safe from Allah. And there is a very famous Muslim leader there who fought Magellan and he killed Magellan in the battle. And they defeated him. Then King Philip, he sent another ships. They took over this land and they changed it and they start calling Philippine for King Philip. And they change Amanullah to Manila. Change it from Amanullah to Manila. And they also came back to Africa and go back to Spain. It's really, I'm just saying that to show you this kind of maps. To show you where the Muslims, what the land Muslims reached. Thank you. But I believe of the Muslim that day like us, we will not be able to extend from Medina 2 kilometers. Inshallah, I promised some brother I'm going to give a special lecture about this kind of the discovering the new land with the documents and the reference, inshallah, in the University of Houston, and also with more maps and details. I just found that's a good chance for you just to show you when Muslims doing something, when Muslims act, when Muslims offer da'wah, where they reach. See, all the whole world. The whole world. And also, inshallah, this will be in that lecture, I will talk. I will tell you that there is some documents, history documents, saying that center of America, there were Muslims there before the Christians. And there's a lot of evidence, even they found in Mexico, some evidence showing that there's a people came from our country or from Egypt and from other country to Mexico long, long time ago. And this is a special, inshallah, lecture. Brothers and sisters, we should do something. We should offer da'wah. We should offer da'wah by our behaving, by learning, by teaching others. Passing a tape, passing a booklet, by give a word. Deliver da'wah between us first. Brother, if my brother, my Muslim's brother, if I advise him, he don't accept the advice. What you expect from the Kafir? No. I know talking about the da'wah and how to deliver the da'wah, it's another issue. But my point today, I want you, when we're ending this program, you learn something. You have to learn to your brothers, your sisters. You learn to your wife, to your husband. You learn something. You have to give da'wah to other, to the non-Muslims, in a nice way, gentle way. Don't be harsh. And with knowledge. Don't be like this man. He heard Sheikh saying, you have to give da'wah, blah, blah, blah. He said, he is a thief. He is a killer. He nothing. He knows nothing. This first time to enter the masjid. He heard people talking about da'wah. He said, okay, I only know one Jew guy. I'm going to give him da'wah. He know nothing. Killer. He said, okay. He went to this guy. He took him up. He put him down. And he put the gun. And he said, hey, you became Muslim. We're going to kill you now. This Jew. He said, okay. How I became Muslim? How I can be Muslim? He said, I don't know, but you have to be Muslim. He has nothing, no knowledge. I heard this story once from our Sheikh al-Albani. So, yani, without knowledge you cannot do anything. You might make wrong more than right. So, but also I'm not saying you have to stay until you became station of Ibn Taymiyyah or Ibn Baz or the student of knowledge. No. Whatever you know, deliver it. And when you deliver da'wah, it doesn't mean you are mufti, you are Sheikh al-Islam. If somebody accepts Islam, you tell him about Islam, he became Muslim. It doesn't mean you have to give him fatwa for every single thing. No, he accepts Islam. Please, brother, go to this man, he will teach you. Da'wah is a stations. This is one of the problems we have it here in da'wah. Because here in America, when people involved in da'wah, and mashallah, people accept Islam, he thought that he became mufti. No, it doesn't mean that. Or because people accept Islam from him, that means he's Sheikh. No, it doesn't mean that. Imam Masjid doesn't mean he's Mufti. Mufti doesn't mean he can be wa'il. Different stations of da'wah. The best, above all of it, is the scholars. And many, many different. There is no excuse for anybody. The Prophet ﷺ said, بَلِّغُ عَنِّي وَلَا آيَةً. Even one letter, one ayah, one verse. No excuse. Everyone, he can deliver da'wah. Small, big, old, young, woman, man, he can offer something for this deen. I will now end, inshallah, this lecture. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us and to forgive our sins. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العلي العظيم. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. I will let you attend now to go to food. صلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers. We'll be serving food now in the dinner hall.